Fantastic. How are we doing? We good? Good stuff. Listen, today's going to be slightly different. My aim, and I say my aim because it might not pay off and we may be here a bit later, but we're going to be finished within time, is that I want to get through what I'm speaking about today, but then I want us to go back into a time of just presence of God. So we go back into a time of just entering into his presence and seeing what God wants to do. Because listen, God, when we're in his presence, anything can happen. Amen. Things can change, circumstances can lift. And so my job today is not to sit here and talk at you for ages. My job today is to try and just get across what I want to say and then get us back in the presence of God. Amen. So last night, me and Pastor Stu did an incredibly long journey from Derbyshire area, which was incredible. But me and Pastor Stu have been away with some AOG ministers. And I just wanted to really big up Pastor Andy. So that's why I'm doing it. For those watching online, if he's watching online, how proud I am of our senior leader. For those that are new to church, our senior leader is Pastor Andy Elms. I'm your congregational pastor, Sean. But Pastor Andy, on Friday night, we was up in Derbyshire. There's about 150 or so of these ministers from all over the country. And Pastor Andy just set the room on fire. Like, the God just moved. People were wrecked. And I was like, wow, that's our senior leader down here that sometimes I can take for granted. But he's changing the United Kingdom for God's glory. He's literally up there setting people on fire for the kingdom of God. And it was, and I know Pastor Stu felt the same, it was such a proud moment to think, wow, that's my pastor up there doing that. And when people afterwards are like, you're so blessed to have him. And I'm like, wow, do you know, he was prophesying, he was speaking life, he was preaching the gospel. It was powerful. And I'm so proud. And this morning he's actually in Torquay, I believe, preaching the gospel again. So he travelled from Derbyshire to Torquay and he's carrying on his journey, which, come on, that's awesome, isn't it? We're so blessed to have him as our senior leader carrying the vision. So I just, come on, let's give it. He's not here. Hopefully he'll hear it on the camera there. Fantastic. So I just want to recap what we have been speaking on over the last five or so weeks. So we're in this series, Jesus Is. Anyone enjoying the series? Yes. It'd be weird if you was like, no. I'd be like, oh no, whoa, dear, what do we do? We will carry on anyway. But anyway, so I'm today, my job is to kind of bring it to an end in a certain way. And I think today's one is going to be really good, an opportunity for us to kind of respond to everything that's been preached already and shared already and taught already. But just to recap what we have looked at, we started this series looking at Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever. Then we started to look at Jesus being fully man and fully God. We looked at Jesus is with us. Then we looked at Jesus is exalted. And then last week, Paula just absolutely smashed it with Jesus's prophet, priest, and king. And how good was Paula last week? It was so good. Every teacher's been brilliant, but maybe because it was my wife, maybe I just felt super proud. I don't know. I was down there and I was like, wow, that's my wife. She is incredible. The popcorn story, that's a different thing altogether. For those that know, like who were here last week, nearly burnt the house down. But anyway, that's a different thing. Do you know what? It was my fault. I will admit, I distracted her. It was me. So I was like, Paula, I needed a passport. Paula, you need to take my photo. I didn't know she was cooking popcorn in there, mind you, at this point. Then that happened. And I was like, oh no, it's my fault. So it was actually my fault that she actually did that. But the next day when she went to cook popcorn again, honestly, I was like, please do not cook popcorn. Please. I was begging her. You should have seen it. I was like, Aldi's, 99p, bag of popcorn. I'll go now. I'll get a few. She was like, no, I'm going to do it again. I'm like, please don't. It all turned out good. But listen, do you know what I want to say about my wife is that actually, because this is a little bit about the message today. She may sometimes nearly burn the house down, but that's my fault. But do you know what? In every other area, she's an absolutely incredible woman of God. Like, incredible woman of God. To the point where I think I watch her do life, and I'm like, how do you do this? For those that don't know, we also homeschool our children. I say we. Paula homeschools our children. I stand there on the sideline going, that's brilliant. You're doing a great job, love. Like, I can't. What do I bring to the table? Do you know what I mean? Like, when it's homeschool for dad, do you know what we do? We go and climb a tree. Like, come on, that's great. And maybe nearly fall out of it. Do you know, because that's me. I'm Mr. Adventures. Paula's like academic. She knows how to teach these three children that are absolutely full of energy. And it's just incredible to watch her. And I think, wow, that takes patience, incredible skill. And you know what? Like sometimes I just look and admire her and think, wow, that's incredible. As well as holding down another job that she does. She does so much. And I know she's in kids right now, serving in the new kids group that we started again. So I just want to really big her up because I'm so proud of her, if that's all right to do that. So my aim today, as I said, is to finish this series with a subject. And the subject that I want to finish on, that we felt led to finish on, is this, that Jesus is Lord. And I think this is a really good way of wrapping everything up that we've kind of looked at, because we have to come to this point in our life where this is the reality of it, that he is Lord. And my aim is to do two things today, is to look and explain what Lord is, because it's a weird kind of thing, isn't it? Lord, Lord, it's a funny saying. I want to look at what that actually means and how we need to approach God in such a way that we understand that. And then also, I want to look at how that applies to our life, because sometimes we can read the Bible, right, and read all of the stuff, but we look at the world outside and think, how does this even fit with what's going on in my world? And actually, we need to be clever at bridging the two and realize actually God's so in your world right now. And God is so part of everything that's going on from generation to generation to generation. He's unchanging and unwavering. And sometimes we've not got to get caught away with where society's going, thinking, oh, they're outgrowing God. No, no, God's aware of every single thing. And so we need to understand how Jesus being Lord is more important now than ever in our life. Amen. So I don't want to just be someone giving you information today, as I said. But I want to see the application of it in our everyday life. I want to see us making decisions for our families that benefit them based on what we're learning, amen? That we're leaving this place making better decisions because God is teaching us about what it means to follow him, amen? If it's just going to be in here, then it isn't going to change here. But if we can get it in here and start applying it to our life, our whole world will change, amen? See, James 1:22 says this, "Do not merely listen to the word." You know, it's easy to listen to the word. But it goes on, and do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves. Do what it says. That doing what it says bit's the difficult bit. Because sometimes the word of God is sharp and it challenges us, provokes us to live differently. And it's not always easy to do that. But it's important that we do if we want to see our world and our life changed. Luke 11:28 also says this. He replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." See, loads of people can hear the word of God, but it's a different thing to follow what it's actually saying and start to apply it to your life and live it out. That's when true change starts to happen in your life. When you start to outwork what God is calling you and speaking you to do. So what is a Lord? We're going to quickly look at this. The definition and the meaning of Lord is one having power and authority over others. That's what it means. And in church, we often hear it a lot, right? He is Lord. Jesus is Lord. We sing it in songs all the time. We sing it quite blasé, like just saying it without often realizing what we're declaring and what we're meaning. And today, I really want us to get back to what it actually means, to get our lives lined up with actually saying, no, he is Lord of our life. But when we look at the world is used often in the world is in the world itself as well. I always think of Lord of the Manor. I don't know, it's an old term, but like Lords of the Manor, when they owned manor houses and they owned great bits of land around them, they had authority over the land, over the people, subjects and things like this. Why? Because they were the Lord of that area, the Lord of the Manor. And it's an old kind of saying that you don't really kind of see much anymore, but that's what that represented, that they were Lord, had authority. And actually what they also did was speak justice into situations as well and try to sort things out. That's what a Lord of the Manor was back in the day. But then we have the picture in the world of the Lord through heritage or lineage. Like the king's people will be lords and all kinds of dukes and stuff like that. And so we hear this word there as well. And what have they got? They've inherited authority. They're born into a place of great authority and power. They didn't buy it. They just inherited it through their lineage. And then we have the other one, which is probably more common, which I think we've probably all heard of, which is the House of Lords. Everyone heard of what the House of Lords? Yep, cool. So then you have a house, a whole house full of these lords that are like kind of giving it the beginning there. And it's like, this is incredible as well, because you have lords and baronesses that when they sit within that place in the House of Commons, they actually have a great responsibility. that actually when in the House of Commons laws are being kind of made up and passed, they actually send it down to the other end, the green end. Oh, the red end, sorry, should I say. The green end is the Commons, that down to the red end. And they will look at those laws and decide whether they're right or not right. And they will pass judgment on them because of the authority and power that's been given to them as lords and baronesses of this country. And I think, wow, that's incredible. Such power and such authority has been given to them. So a lord is someone who has great authority within the realm of their lordship. You know, it's only within that place. Like, they can't go somewhere else and start waving that kind of authority because it's given to them in a certain area. A lord is someone who governs power and authority over others often, but not always, I'll say that, for the greater good of justice and human rights. To make sure laws are fair and that people are safe. That's the job of what they should have done and should be doing. So this is the world picture of when we see this word Lord, House of Lords, Lords. And, you know, it's a funny one, isn't it? Like, it's out of my world. I ain't got no lords in my life. Do you know what I mean? Other than the Lord Jesus Christ. I ain't got none of these natural people that are like that. In fact, I did meet one. A funny story. I used to work for a charity in, it's called Second Chance Children's Charity. Brilliant, brilliant charity, working with kids that have just been chucked out of school, ADHD type kids like me. Like, and I used to love them. I used to get on with them so well. We clicked for some reason. I wonder why. And it was great fun. But we used to take these kids to Finland, and we had like a kind of residential place out there. And one day, it's the first time I've ever met someone that's so posh. I just was like, wow, this is unbelievable. They were like of the lordship type realm. And I said to this guy, like, so like kind of he was here, he was serving, he was, you know, helping the charity. Only young boy, probably 18 years old. And I was like, so are you like kind of, are you quite wealthy? Oh, no, 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 no. He was doing that. I'm like, you actually sound like, I'm like, really? And then he showed me his house, and it looked like the White House. And I'm like, but then his mates had bigger houses, so that's why he thought he wasn't rich. I didn't want to show him a terraced house in Portsmouth. I was like, he doesn't think it, and it's like, wow, that's unbelievable. Do you know what I mean? His picture that he wasn't rich because, but like his dad had a wind farm in the back garden in Scotland. Like, that's how we're talking here. This guy was like of royalty kind of thing, but that's as close as I've got to it. And it was a bit too much for me. I was like, ooh, it's too much. But listen, I digress. I went on a funny story there, sorry. But listen, that's who they are. A lot of them often are born into inherited power. Inherited authority. They've just been born into that place. But what about the Lord Jesus? What about Jesus? What does it mean for his lordship in our life? Well, what I love about what Jesus is called, we can find many scriptures, and I'm going to read a few here. In Deuteronomy 10:17, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. Come on, he's a God of justice, and he's a God that's a Lord over every other Lord. Come on, this is when I start getting excited, because I realize if he's in control, we're good. Psalms 136, verse 3, give thanks to the Lord of Lords. His love endures forever. 1 Timothy 6:15, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords. I love that. The word for lords there is kyrios, and it means owner or master. So what he's saying is the owner of master of all lords. In fact, actually, Jesus has great authority over all authority, that he is the true source of authority, that he is the only true Lord over all lords, amen? Every other Lord is just borrowed authority, but he has the great authority. Revelation 17:14 says this, they will wage war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will triumph over them because he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And with him will be his called, chosen and faithful followers. That's the church. Revelation 19:16, and I love this. This is a cool picture of Jesus. On his robe and on his thigh, he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Come on, that's an awesome picture. It's got a tattoo written King of Kings and Lord of Lords on his thigh. That's what I'm seeing. That's phenomenal. I'm like, come on, Jesus. This is a great picture. Wow, I love that thought that he's not just Lord, he's Lord of Lords. That he has so much more authority than anyone else that you ever see in any media, that's a king of this world or any other thing. He is the Lord of all. Philippians 2:9 to 11 says this, and I'll read it from above. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Listen, every knee will bow. I want mine to bow now because I want to do it, not because when he comes in glory, I'm terrified. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord. I want to make sure that I'm on the right side of it, doing it from a place because I believe by faith, amen? Not because I see him coming on the clouds of fire and was like, oh my goodness, he is Lord. I want to do it right now in a place where I believe even though I haven't seen, amen? So when it comes to Jesus being Lord, how does that affect what's going on in my world today? Well, as a Christian, I think it's very important in order to follow Jesus correctly. This is the, if we don't get this bit right, then the rest won't follow correctly. If we don't recognize his lordship in our life, then we'll be not in submission to his authority. We won't be following what he's actually asking us to do, and therefore we won't be under the authority that he's given us. Remember, Jesus paid for us with his own blood. We read that in 1 Corinthians 6:20 and 7:23. Going to the cross, dying in our place, in Romans 5:8. He rose on the third day and defeated death, Romans 8:34. And for all those who believe in him are delivered from the power and the grip of death for all eternity. Come on, when he's Lord of everything in your life. He's delivered us. He set us free, but he paid for us with his own body, which means that I don't belong to myself. Romans 10 verse 9 says this, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I love that because we're not declaring Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I think you're good. Jesus, yeah, I want to know you. We're saying no. When you declare Jesus is Lord, then you will be saved. When you confess that and confess that he rose from the dead, then you will be saved. And I think this is a really important bit that we need to get. When declaring with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believing in our heart God raised him from the dead, the meaning of heart is the meaning of the heart seat. And it's the seat of the thought and emotions. The heart the heart was thought to be the seat of the inner self. So it's composed of the life, the soul, the mind. So it's not just about confessing it with your mouth. It's about actually, do you know it on the inside of who you are? Is it just up here or is it truly in here? Is it the way you live out your life? Because I can say Lord, Lord, Lord all the time, but it may never even be in there. I could go up to a non-Christian and say the name Jesus Lord and they would say it because it's not in here, amen? It's just in here. We need to have it right deep in our heart. Then the Bible says, then we'll be saved. That word is more than just being set, you know, saved for all eternity. It means to be saved, rescued, delivered, to be healed, and to be made in right relationship with God. And this all comes down to his lordship. To say Jesus is Lord is not, as I said, a form of speech, is it? It's not just us speaking these words. It has to be an action of the heart. It has to be a submission of your heart because only then would you start to see correct behavior afterwards. Because anyone can say Jesus is Lord, go home, close the door and be someone different. Because that's not Jesus being Lord. That's your mouth saying it, not your heart believing it. Amen. Luke 6, 46 to 47 says this. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they like. And he goes on to speak about this. But the bit that I love is that when he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I think this is something we need to grasp because we're calling him Lord. But if he's Lord, surely everything that he says is everything we must do. And if not, then he's not our Lord. And this may go down a harsh road in a minute, and I don't mean it to. But it's more to bring us to a place where we can truly see freedom in our life. Because I believe the key to freedom is his lordship. The key to seeing things changed in your life is his lordship. I think this is the answer to it. And I'm going to share a testimony of what happened in my world. Because often people don't understand it. And only recently have I started to understand it. And it comes down to this. But the thing I want to ask you is simply this. You call him Lord, but is he Lord of all? Is he Lord of every part of your life? Let me put it a different way. Is he the Lord of your mouth? Or are you going home gossiping and talking about how bad people are? Because if he's the Lord of your mouth, you won't be doing it. But if you haven't submitted that area of your life to him, then he's not your Lord. Is he the Lord of your ears and your eyes? Because if he is, you won't go home watching things you know you shouldn't watch. And you'll make sure the things that are going in here are good and not bad. Because you've protected. Why? Because he's the one who's in control, amen? Is he the Lord of your decisions? This is a tough one. Not my will be done, but yours. Easy to say, hard to live out. Is he the Lord of your decisions? I.e., you go to him when you need to make a decision. You know, whether it's choosing a university, whether it's choosing a job, whether it's knowing a house that you want to live in or a place you want to go or a church maybe that you feel God calling. Do you do it because you want to do it or do you do it because you've sought God? Two very different things. Is he the Lord of your family? Your children, your husband, your wife, have you given all of those over to him? Because you know what? He, when in control, is so much better than we could ever be. Do we dominate our children and put things on them we know we shouldn't? Or do we allow the love of the Father to lead and control and do everything that needs to be done? I say that as a parent who often sees my own faults and thinks, why did I do that? And I realize, God, please help me in this area of being a parent because it's really, really difficult. As someone who's grown up in a really messed up house, I've never known anything, so I need my Lord to come and help me. Is he the Lord of me and my wife? Or am I dominating and controlling? No, he's fully all over this, Lord. My marriage belongs to him. Is he the Lord of every part of that area? Yes, he is. It has to be, amen? Because if he's not, then he can't be Lord in my life. Listen. He's either the Lord of all or he's Lord not at all. You can't have both. You can't just give him segments and expect the rest to be under his thing. He's either Lord of all or not at all. And I think we need to come to a place where we bring ourselves. We've learned so much about who Jesus is. And the greatest thing and the number one thing we need to do is submit ourselves to his lordship, to his authority, to his calling. And sometimes that's tough. And I'll be honest with you. I look at other people often in my life and think, why, Lord, have you called me to this? To live a life where I cannot make a choice without feeling heavy if I do the wrong one, knowing that I haven't listened to you, Lord. I have to listen to him. I have to be obedient to him. I'm not just going to go and take up another job just because I feel like taking up another job. I'm not just going to go move house because I feel like I want to move house because I can't do that because I'm bound to his lordship. And I think, God, if you need me here, then that's where I'll be. Because he's in control. Either he's Lord of all, or he's not at all. You know, I don't know what to say with that one. When it came to recently me and Paula running the youth, that's another thing that if it's by my own will, you know, my Friday nights were quite nice. They were a lovely thing. My Wednesday nights were quite nice. But now they become loads of youth in my house, which I absolutely love. And loads of youth on a Friday night. We had 79 this Friday. I wasn't even there. And I think that when I go away, I think more come. So I think I might keep doing that. But it wasn't my will. It's his. The Bible says that he paid for my life with a price. Who am I to tell God what I'm going to do? What authority do I carry to do that? None, because my life was bought at a price. Therefore, I lay my life down for his kingdom and say, your will be done. And sometimes it is like sweating and feeling so nervous about it because you feel on edge because actually you know you're giving up your time. You're giving up your energy. But Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ now lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And then Romans 12:1 urges us with this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. See, we're called to a life of surrender, but it has to be a choice. The friction that you will find is the battle between yourself and God continually until his lordship is over you. The not wanting to let go of areas of your life, the not wanting to give up areas of your life. Another one is, he the Lord of your finances? Or are you the Lord of the finances and sometimes invite God into that area? Either he's Lord of all, he's not at all. I'll keep saying it, because he has to have everything in order to be Lord. All authority belongs to him, not part of the authority. And so therefore our lives have to be laid down in a way where they're surrendered to him. But this is the reality of it. And I want to share this testimony just as we finish. And I want to give opportunity for one, for people to come and say, Jesus, I want to make you Lord of my life. But also for others to say, yeah, Sean, I recognize, like, my ears don't belong to God. My eyes, wow, they've gone places they shouldn't have gone. My mouth, woo, you should see me. Maybe it's time I need to bring it under his lordship. But listen, this is something that happened to me. I came in here as an uneducated chav with a tracksuit on. Funny story, but it was. I came in just a lad from the street, desperately in need of help because I had addictions, bad things all over my life. I had a 3-year conditional discharge on my life for running down the road with a 10-inch kitchen knife. I was wild. And this was my last resort. I didn't know where else to go. I remember going to AA. I lasted a little bit. I was like, I need something. And I came in with nothing else to give, just knowing that I just needed help. And in this very hall, I surrendered my life to God. And every addiction left me that day. Like, every addiction left me. But it wasn't anything to do with me. This is what you've got to understand. It doesn't belong to me. I simply surrendered. I simply said, you're Lord. You're Lord. And you know what happened? That addiction bowed its knee to a greater name. And then the name of Jesus came in. And that addiction had to leave according to his word. And I walked out a free man. I walked down the road with so much peace, I didn't know what was going on. I was frightened. For the first time in my life, I was able to lift my head and look out rather than look down. And I could just hear quiet nothingness. And it was calm. And when you've lived 20 years of your life with storms breaking out every moment of your life, just in that moment, when the peace came, I was never the same again. 15 years ago, and I've not stopped chasing God. I've not stopped. An uneducated person's ended up with a theology degree. An uneducated person has ended up with things that I couldn't have ever done. Why? Not because of me. I'm not special. I just realized I was so broken that I needed his lordship. None of us here are special. Not one of us are special. With all our education, with all our understanding, not one of us are special, but he is. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's why we say we can do nothing except what we see him doing. With him, all things are possible. Why? Because it's outside of our silliness, human error. It's down to his perfection and his love and his grace and his mercy, his forgiveness. So listen, if you've made mistakes, you don't worry about them. You don't worry about them one bit. The enemy will tell you you've done it wrong again and again and again. But listen, I want to tell you this right now. The cross has paid for every sin, past, present, and future. You can walk out a free person today because of the blood of Jesus. And as you recognize that you were crucified with him, you can also recognize that you rise to newness of life with him today in this very hall. So let's pray. Is that okay? Let's just close our eyes. You can lift your hand. Just in this moment, just as a sign of surrender. And in a minute, I'm going to give another opportunity for everyone to just come to a place. Listen, why don't you just repeat after me? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. I thank you that he rose on the third day. And now I can receive new life. Forgive me of my past wrongs and all my mistakes. Jesus, I make you Lord of my life. Every area. In Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, just keep your eyes closed. I don't want anyone's eyes up right now. Just keep focused on Christ. Listen, if anyone's here for the very first time or you've returned to Christ and you know you need to get right with God. You know life has been crazy. Life has been chaotic. Life has been disturbing. And you need that peace. I'm going to simply ask you to do exactly what I did and just raise your hand as a sign of surrender. Is there anyone here today that just wants to encounter God's presence? There's a hand there. And receive newness of life. There's a hand gone up here. Come on. Is there anyone else? But there's more hands. There's more people, I believe, that need to respond right now to this. Jesus. Father, I just thank you right now for newness of life breaking out. For freedom breaking out. For forgiveness being washed over. Lord, I thank you that who the Son sets free is free indeed. Father, I pray for each of these people that have put hands up, Lord. I pray that you fill them afresh with your Holy Spirit. Fill them afresh with your Holy Ghost, Lord, we pray. Cause them to let go of the past and press on with the future. To make you Lord of all in every decision and desire that's theirs. To lay it down at your feet in Jesus' name. Come on, why don't you stand with me, church? Listen, just in these few moments, I know we've only got a couple of moments, but I just want us to just go out by singing. But as a sign of a declaration, listen, you may have things in your own world, in your own life that have been Lord. Maybe you've been Lord and you've given God bits here, there and everywhere. But actually, it's time just to make God Lord of all and make him everything in your life. And if you know that you need to do that, why don't you just make a declaration? You can come to the front. You can lay it at the altar. You can lay it at the floor. Maybe there's addictions. Maybe there's things that you're struggling with. Maybe there's patterns of behavior that don't just seem right. Listen, no one is judging. It's brave to come out to the front to lay it at the feet of Jesus. But listen, I believe it's a point of contact. It's a point of saying, look, faith is activated. Listen, if you need to do that, come forward. And I just want to pray. I'm just going to come down and pray. I'm going to lay hands and pray and I'm going to ask the pastoral team. But as we do this, listen, if you need to come forward, you just come forward and we're going to do that. But if not, you can just pray and we're going to worship, if that's all right, just for these last few moments.